All right, tonight we go back to the book of Romans chapter 3. The message tonight is, as I guess if I could describe it, it's kind of finishing what we started this morning. It's a part two. But it's putting it all together so that it all makes sense. Romans chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 19 and we'll read through verse 26. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, beginning in verse 19? Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let us pray again. Our Father in heaven, once again we approach Your throne of grace asking for understanding. Lord, make it clear to us what Your Word says, so that we may know, that we may understand, and through that understanding grow stronger in our relationship with You. Father, I pray that if there is one here who does not know You as their Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night they call upon You for salvation. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You so much for Your grace and Your goodness toward us. And we rejoice and give thanksgiving for our Savior, Jesus Christ, Your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Kind of a little review. Paul has used the chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3 here to bring the Jews to the point that they need to be saved like everybody else. This morning, Paul answered questions that he knew would be asked from what he had been teaching them. And so tonight, he kind of pulls all that together. And his battle, of course, had been the Jewish mentality. I'm a Jew, so I'm saved. Of course, we know that's not right. Paul knew that's not right. And so that's what he's been battling. And now he brings it all together in understanding the salvation that we have, not in the law, but in Jesus Christ. And then he starts tonight in verse 19. He addresses another question that you know would come after his teaching salvation by grace. That question would be, well, what about the law? What's the purpose of the law? And verse 19 and 20, I'll encourage you to keep your Bibles open, because we're going to go back so that we get a full understanding of what Paul's saying. Verse 19, he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The purpose of the law, number one, it was to keep people quiet. Makes sense, right? That's what it means that every mouth be stopped. It means that every mouth be silenced. The idea there is to bring the Jews to the point of realizing their guilt before God. It was to show them that their transgressions and that they were transgressors and sinners, and take away any excuse that they may have for not accepting or receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Bring them to that point. No more excuses of I'm a Jew. No more excuses of I'm circumcised and none of that. And, you know, it still applies to us today. If you ask someone if they're saved, quite often all you get is excuses. Nobody's perfect, they'll say. I'm good as anybody else, they'll say. Well, I'm not that bad. And if those people are going to heaven, surely I am. No, that's not the idea. You see, the law, even the law of Moses that was given to the Jews, will show man today his sinful condition and bring us to the point of the knowledge of our sin so that we cannot make excuse. And that's where Paul has brought us in all that we've gone through in the first part of this chapter and in chapter 2. But look at verse 21. But now. I love that phrase. But now. And you'll breeze right over it if you're not careful. Now remember the idea there in verse 24. Therefore by the deeds of the flesh no one will be justified. But now. Given a sharp contrast to what they were living for, Paul is telling them, now, this is what righteousness is. And the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law. Now understand, this is not a righteousness of God. I don't think that's a real good translation, to be honest with you. I think it would be better translated, the righteousness from God is revealed. Paul has been bringing people to the point of realizing that their righteousness is not good enough. Now he says, but now. We're living in a different age, not an age of law, but an age of grace. Now the righteousness from God is revealed apart from the law. And that righteousness is, of course, through faith in Christ Jesus. And this faith is for one and for all. There's no other avenue. This is it. There's no plan B. Why does it have to be the only way? Because we're all in the same boat. When you read verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've used that verse practically in every sermon I've preached for the last 30 years. And it's real easy to take it for granted. Yeah, nobody's perfect. We all sin, blah, blah. No. Listen to what it says. All have sinned and come short. That phrase, come short, is better translated, keep falling short. See, now tonight I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. You know we're not saved by the law. You know we're not saved by works. But I want to remind you of the joy and the glory of our salvation that sometimes we just forget. You see, I have a problem. My problem is I keep falling short. Do you have that problem? You see, I was saved 50 years ago. But that sin problem seems to follow me. I'm like the Apostle Paul. That which I would do, I don't do. And that I hate, I do. I still keep falling short. But when I consider the salvation that has been given to me by God the Father, I'm reminded it's not about what I do. That the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And do you realize that I'm just as righteous before God now as the day that I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins? I'm so glad that as a child of God today, I'm not trying to live up to a law. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do wrong things. But there's a reality. I continually fall short. But in spite of my falling short, my salvation is secure through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24 with me. Being justified. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we're fixing to get in those churchy words, all right? If you got a pen, I'd suggest you make little notes out by your Bible, because you hear these words a lot, and quite honestly, most people don't really know what they mean. We just hear them in church a lot. But being justified by His grace, that word justified means to make right. You've been made right. You see, we couldn't make ourselves right. We had to be made right. And we were made right freely. You know what that word freely means? You ever got something for nothing? That's what it means. Free. We were made right freely at no cost to us. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I said it was free to us. But that word redemption is the action of buying back something like a slave or a captive through payment of a ransom. Now, you imagine, or you just stop and think. And we make salvation so easy today, and it is so easy that a child can understand it. But I want you to understand tonight, it may be easy for us, but it was hard for our Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what brought us to that point is that God, in eternity past, looked ahead to eternity future and saw sinful mankind like you and like me. And He set that plan in motion so that your sins and my sin would be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there in verse 25, when it says, whom God sent forth, that phrase sent forth means plan. Whom God planned. Amazingly, it was God's plan from the very beginning for the redemption of mankind. I believe with all my heart that God, before He created the first man, He looked into the future and He saw you and me in need of a Savior. And He set that plan in order before He said, let there be light or let there be anything else. He set the plan of salvation in order. I don't believe sin surprised God. He wasn't caught off guard when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. God knew. That's why He planned in advance that my sin and your sin would be paid for. Revelation 13:8, I've always thought was an amazing passage of Scripture, which says, all who dwell on the earth will worship Him, whose names have been written in the book of life. Of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Actually, I read that wrong. I want to go back and read it straight. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship Him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. As I said before, God set this plan in motion before anything was ever created. And throughout history, there's always been a rejection of that plan. But do you realize one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? Now, you know, yes, it will be too late for some. But I love that passage of Scripture because it reminds us Jesus saw us before He created us. And He had this plan set in place so that this little 8-year-old boy at a revival service could ask Jesus to save him. And he did. What was the plan? That Jesus, he would set forth as the propitiation. That's an interesting word that I almost can't even say. But that word means the means by which our sins are forgiven. The avenue by which our sins are forgiven. Some would say the sacrifice of atonement. You see, by faith we trust in Jesus as the means to righteousness. I'm so thankful that my eternity is not dependent upon me. But my eternity is dependent on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made in my behalf. Isn't that good news? I mean, doesn't that just kind of encourage you a little bit? You know, as I was preparing and thinking of these messages, I was thinking, you know, sometimes you preach salvation over and over. People might get tired of it. But you know what? This morning and last Sunday were salvation messages. And you know what they've done for me? They've reminded me of the great gift that I have as a child of God. Verse 25, the last part of verse 25. He was set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed. This is where it really gets interesting. You mean God passed over sins? We have to understand what that means. It didn't mean that God just dismissed sins. But before Jesus was crucified, it's talking about God did not pass judgment on those sins that He could have, because He looked forward to see His Son who would die on the cross of Calvary for mankind who was guilty of sins. You see, He anticipated the provision for all of those who would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's grace. When you look at the history of man, as I said before, the history of man is a rejection of God. And even today, you look at the rejection in our country, whereas God's no longer welcome in the public arena. They think that yes, you're entitled to have your religion, but don't publicize your religion. If you're a Christian, you can publicize any other religion if you want to, but not being a Christian. Have you ever wondered why God has not exercised judgment on the United States of America? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why. See, the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for their forgiveness of sin. The New Testament believers such as you and I, we look back to that forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. But God is still merciful and gracious. Let's read verse 26, getting down to the end. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is what it's all about. That God, why did God have this plan of salvation? That He might be just. For God, do you realize for God to be a just God, He had to judge sin? Otherwise, there's no justice. But do you realize how He judged sin? He gave His only begotten Son to go to the cross of Calvary He gave His only begotten Son to endure a beating by those old Roman soldiers. He gave His only begotten Son to be mocked and spat upon. He gave His only begotten Son to wear a crown of thorns. Why? Because that was the judgment for sin, for your sin and for my sin. And God had to judge our sin. He judged His own Son. But not only was He just, He is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Because He was just and put my sins upon Jesus, now He offers that salvation, that righteousness to me and makes me just. He's my justifier. You know why I'm not going to, you know why I'm going to heaven? Not because of what I've done. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm a member of Victory. Not because I'm something special. It's because I have been made right by God Himself. Therein is the joy. Therein is the security. You see, there are a lot of people who don't know if they're saved or not. They don't understand salvation. There are a lot of people who are afraid they can lose it. They don't understand. Once God makes you just, you are justified for good. There's no going back. God never half does anything. And I want to read one more verse and I'll close. I don't know why I keep looking at my arm. I don't even have my watch, right? Verse 27. Where then is boasting? Or where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. What do I have to brag about? Not a single thing. You see, that was in the Jews of that day. That was what's wrong with those Pharisees of that day. They walked around like they were somebody special. That's why they were so hard to accept salvation by grace. They were hard to accept the idea all have sinned and come short of glory of God, including them. Because they wanted people to look, say, look at what I've done. Well, today, as children of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't say, look at me, look what I've done. We say, look what our Savior Jesus Christ has done. That's our joy. That's our point of boasting. Now tonight, my question to you is this. Are you a child of God? If not, why not? If God went through all that trouble to give you the avenue of salvation, and says, if you'll just ask, if you'll just ask, He'll save you. Why would you refuse that? How could you refuse that? You know, and I've used this phrase several times today. People say, I know I'm not perfect. Well, that's half the battle. At least you realize that much. No, you're not perfect. But I'll tell you who is. The Lamb of God that was crucified for your sins and for mine. He was perfect. He was the sacrifice that gives you the avenue to be right before God. Job asked a question. Forgot what chapter. But his question, I think it's Job 9. His question was, how can a man approach God? How can a man approach God? You know, and then he goes on in that chapter. He talks about the greatness of God and His mighty works and His mighty deeds and the idea, you know, how could a lowly human being approach God? I can tell you how. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the only way. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation's for you. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reminder today of the great sacrifice that was made for our sin. Lord, I know there are a lot of people here who are saved. And may it just remind us all of Your glory. And may we leave here boasting of Your good, of Your great grace. But Father, most of all, I pray for those here that do not know You as their Savior. Those that have made excuses. Those who have refused. Those who have turned their backs on You. I pray that You convict them of their sins in such a way so that they will not be able to leave here without asking You to be their Savior. Father, this invitation is Yours. I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?